Welcome to the Positively Midlife podcast. We are college friends, now in our 50s, exploring midlife together. Join us on this journey filled with honest discussion on the topics and challenges that are important to women at midlife.
You know what, Tish? We really need to talk about friendship. Have you noticed that when we were young, our friends were the center of our lives? We have so many memories of the times we spent with them.
And then, you know what? We got older. We got so busy with our careers and our families. And that's what became the center of our focus of our lives.
Yeah, but now in midlife, we're changing again. And I think friendships are starting to take center stage again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. In fact, it's become more important not only to our health, but our happiness.
Agree. And we both know that we know friendship's important at every stage of our lives. And some research identified that friendships are strong predictors of how happy and healthy people feel in midlife. And this goes across both men and women. But for us women, friendships, we know they boost health, well-being, and they can be even more significant than family. I thought that was kind of shocking. Do you think it's time for us ladies to double down on friendship, Tish?
I absolutely think it is time for us to double down on friendship. You know, if you look at the research that they do about friendship, it really shows that especially for women more than men, that friendship is so important to their overall well-being. And I'm going to sprinkle in a little science on you on this one.
Okay. But
they even say that when girlfriends spend time together, the serotonin levels and the oxytocin, the bonding hormones, those start to get activated in our bodies. And so these connections, when they say that this is about wellness, I mean, there's science behind why this happens, because these two things are released when women spend time together.
It's so nice to have a little science behind why we know friendship is so important, right? But you know what? This topic makes me think of a song that was our anthem back the year we were graduating from college. And I think I'm going to just, you know, I don't have a good voice, but lean on me. When you're not strong.
No, nobody wants to hear me sing. But I want you to know that I do have that on my playlist for working out. And if I'm feeling blue without having my girlfriends around, I will play it and think of you all. You know who sang that song?
Well, I think I know who sang that song in 1982. Seven, but do you know something I don't know?
I think I do, because I'm an old school kind of girl. But you go ahead. Who do you think it is?
It was Club Nouveau, and I don't think they had another hit. I think they were one of those 80s one-hit wonders.
Well, Club Nouveau, because I knew you were going to say that, because that's what we had heard the song when we were in college. But that's a remake of Mike Withers. Mm-hmm. And he's the original artist on it. And I said, I'm old school. I like the old school sound. So when I listen, it's Mike Withers.
I hear you. But I remember we had a boom box with a tape. And our friend Linda Duran loved that song. I'm telling you, it takes me right back to graduation. But I'm so excited to talk about friendship today. But before we get into this, you know, this is the part I love the most. It's our weekly obsessions. What do you have for me this week, Tish?
Okay, so we're going into this, fall and winter season. And I, being so fair-skinned as I am, I always suffer from very sensitive skin. And this time of year, my skin gets rough. I feel like it's like an alligator on my face. So this winter roughness be gone. I have discovered something, and I can't use a lot of chemicals on my face in terms of the scrubs. It makes me super dry. Then I'm flaking all over the place. But I have found, and it's very inexpensive, this little facial buffing brush. And I just use it on your dry skin. So you could, you know, have it by the TV when you're watching TV or something at night, and you use it to buff your skin and help just gently exfoliate some of that dry skin without any chemicals. And it feels kind of nice too. It's real soft. So that's my obsession this week, the facial buffing brush.
You know, I have a body brush like that, and you brush your entire body dry towards your heart for circulation. So I wonder if the circulation is also helping on your face.
It probably is. You know, I think a lot of the chemicals that makes the blood come to you, rush to your face as well. But like I said, you know, for me, I have to be careful because then I overcompensate and end up with oily breakout. So I'm going for the facial buffing brush this winter. I'll let you know how it goes.
Keep me posted.
Well, what about you, Ellen? What is your obsession this week?
Well, you know that it's the year of Will in my house, and my youngest son is the last one left at home, and he'll be going off to college next year. So the other day we were chatting about this stuffing I make for Thanksgiving, and he said, "Why do you only make that one day a year, Mom?" He says this every year, but I made a huge sheet pan of it last weekend, and he and I ate it for 3 days, but it's ciabatta, pancetta, and all sorts of good things like leeks and toasted pecans and different things. And of course, there's some butter and chicken stock in there. But my obsession is this ciabatta stuffing. And let me tell everybody, and you can have it any time of year, as we just found out.
You know, I'm a stuffing girl. Like if I had to only take one thing off the table at Thanksgiving, I'm going for the stuffing. So I need this recipe. This sounds really good. I like stuffing on sandwiches. I like putting the dry stuffing from the stovetop stuffing container where it's all pre-seasoned. I love throwing that in cream soups. But you could take yours as well and top a soup or whatever with it. Throw some eggs on top of it. You could really make tons of meals out of it, but we want that recipe.
I will put it in our show notes. All right. Well, you know, we know friendship's important. And I think in the past couple of years, we've seen that a lot of people at midlife can be struggling with friendships. Either they don't have enough connection in their lives. And I wonder, you know, how as women can we build and maintain strong friendships to have that network we need?
You know, I love the idea of making a plan to go from a place of struggling to deeper and richer friendships, because I've seen friends reach out, maybe real old friends and stuff like that, who make themselves like very open by saying, "I'm having a hard time. I'm lonely." Mm-hmm. Maybe they went through a divorce recently. Maybe they went through a move. There's all kinds of things that can make that happen. But, you know, I think making a plan for how we're going to get through this, right? An approach. But I think that approach needs to be twofold. I think we need to focus on old friendships and also focus on new friendships. So that's reinforcing and reconnecting with those old friends and then forging these new connections with new friendships.
I think you're spot on there, really. I think we could explore maybe some ways to reinforce and reconnect. And, you know, one of the things we always say here on the podcast is that it's where friendship meets midlife. So we know friendships are central to midlife. But we don't talk enough about how friendship takes work, how you have to cultivate them. And whether you're married or single or widowed or divorced, you still need to cultivate them. And I have a little quote I like, and this really resonates with me, that friendship is like a bank account. You cannot withdraw without making deposits. And it really goes to show that, right?
I like that.
Yeah. So you can't ignore your friendships, or, you know, you may have to really put in a lot more work to reconnect, One thing I wanted to say here is our group of friends has a WhatsApp group because a couple people live abroad or travel abroad. And I love that this is a way for us to kind of always keep in touch, right? To reinforce our friendship. People post memes, funny things, bad and good jokes. You know, we also have a couple friends that live in Florida. We've been able to keep in touch with them during these hurricanes and bad weather. We post photos and it's more intimate than a Facebook post, really. And I really like that as a way.
Well, here's the other thing. We have two people in our group that do not do Facebook. It is really business related that they tend to stay off social media. So they always felt a little out of the loop. I didn't know about that. How did you know about this? And bringing it on WhatsApp where it's private. So if you've got a group of friends that is very dispersed around the country or around the world, what a great way to have a conversation that's just private in between you. I love that suggestion. But here's the thing, Ellen. So we went through this time where we were focused on our career and families, and now we're coming into midlife and we say, uh-oh, you know, like, so when I think about reconnecting and rebuilding like those old friendships, here's the thing. We've neglected them. And a lot of us may feel really awkward trying to reconnect with them. Like, how do you just out of the blue pick up the phone and say, hey, you haven't heard from me in 10 years, but how's it going? You want to get coffee? That might feel really awkward and forced for some people.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I had this situation happen recently, too. I mean, you know, I've been raising three boys on my own for the last 6+ years with a career and everything that comes with that. And it's been intense for me. And I have let some friendships go, you know, just I haven't put that love into them. And it's been both a time and an energy thing for me. And I have felt like too much time's passed. I felt awkward, you know, reaching back out to these friends. But
I'm going to challenge you not to. I'm going to challenge you to kind of, maybe it's you reach out to them and just, you know, just say, I've missed you. I'm so sorry that I have let all this time pass, but I missed our friendship. Because they may be feeling the same exact way.
Well, I did this recently and it was like she and I had, you know, never missed a beat, right? And so it was a good lesson for me that exactly what you're saying, I don't need to let that awkwardness prevent me from reconnecting. And I think everyone's really happy to get a call from an old friend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, another way is to kind of maybe you've been following them on social media, right? And you can see maybe they're really involved in like yoga these days. What a great way to say, hey, what if can I come to a yoga class with you? Can you show me what this yoga is all about? Maybe that's a great way. Or, you know, they're a huge coffee fan. They're always posting coffee memes or something. And, you know, I heard about this great new coffee shop that has amazing, you know, pastries. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's take an hour and reconnect.
I think you're spot on here. And I know that sometimes there's distance between us, right? I'm very far away from a lot of my old dear friends. But that doesn't mean that I can't make time to connect on the phone or make that time and plan something to go back and visit. I know we've done a lot of reunions with our college group, and I've always really enjoyed that opportunity, whether you guys have come out here, California, or I've gone back east. And I think reunions and special milestones and occasions are great too.
Absolutely. But again, it goes back to, it takes planning. It takes time. It takes that one or two people in the group to step up and start planning dates and realizing everyone's not, you know, especially the larger the group that you have, everyone's not going to be able to make it. But if you give enough time, people can, you know, tend to, you know, carve out that time and money to be able to attend those type of things. But it's, well, it's worth the effort. I think that's what our message is right now. It's so been worth the effort to do those type of things. This mm-hmm. past weekend, you were talking about Linda Duran. So Linda invites me, she comes down golfing, not far from my house. It was a couple hour drive, and she invited me along. Her and her husband were coming down to golf, and oh my gosh, we just hadn't spent that type of one-on-one time. And I don't even know mm-hmm. when, you know, probably since we were kids, you know, in college, but we just end up having just the nicest time. I was so glad I went, and she goes, it's not too far. And I thought, no, it's not. 3 hour mm-hmm. drive each way.
Yeah. Mm,
that was, I was so glad I did it. It was so much fun, you know, really kind of, I don't think I've ever spent that type of time with her husband either, getting to know mm-hmm. him. So the message is take the time. Take the time to do these things. Yeah.
You know, I think it's so great you got to see Linda and Bobby last weekend. I have to say I'm a little jealous. But let's talk about importance of vulnerability in both new and old friendships. And this is kind of new for me. The idea when we were in our 20s or 30s, Tish, it was like I said, you were like the super military wife. You moved your family. You had all of your kids. You were doing crafting projects, making meals. And, you know, it was kind of where we wanted to feel invincible when we were younger and in that phase of our lives. But now I have realized that being vulnerable with my good friends has paid back so much and has been something that's really new for me. I feel like my friendships are deeper and they're richer and they're more meaningful for me being vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. You know, anytime that I've kind of like, and I know what you're talking about, and I think a lot of it still goes on as we get older because of social media, that we are so wrapped up into the image, presenting this, I'm having such a great time image and stuff like that. And not that I want anyone to go on social media and whine and cry. That's not the thing. But reach out to friends, because when you talk about maybe something you're going through, something you're struggling mm-hmm. with, what I have found recently, you know, a lot of our friends have had, their kids are struggling right now. Mm-hmm. And we yeah. all want to, you know, oh, we were perfect mom. You know, we've been able to lean on each other and share some experiences, give some advice to each other, but basically just be a support system, because mm-hmm. we were okay with saying, you know what, something's a little broken here and I need some help. And it does, it enriches your friendships. And when you make that first step to be vulnerable, you allow the other person the grace to also be vulnerable with you.
Yeah.
You know, when you make that first step, and it's hard, you know, and you got to pick the right people to do it with.
True.
But when you do that, you give them the message, it's okay for you to open up to me as well. It's a safe place. Yeah.
It is safe. And, you know, one example of this was during the pandemic, when I felt isolated, I reached out to you and I said, I am really struggling out here. California took the isolation part of the pandemic so seriously. I was working from home and you flew out here and spent 3 weeks. Was it 3 weeks with me? It was a long time.
Yeah. I was there for 2 weeks working remotely. And then the third week, my youngest came mm-hmm. out, because your boys were going into their spring break as well. Who would have thought it would have coordinated?
Crazy.
And, we ended up in another week there just on vacation. So it was, and it was, I needed it as much as you did, but you were the one that broached it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt so good. And it was something that, you know, maybe 10 years prior, I wouldn't have done. I would not have done that. So it felt really good to have you respond to, you know, to my outpouring of really needing a friend close by. Do you have an example of when you've been vulnerable here at midlife, something that resonates with you?
I think, you know, again, when I was referring to, like, you know, one of my kids is kind of really struggling with some stuff, and I've been able to share that with, mm-hmm. with a couple friends, you know, and it was amazing because they'll share their own stories, like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, this, and it's not necessarily the same thing, but it's that, you know, us moms always feel so guilty when our mm-hmm. kids, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, yep. we would rather have it on us than watch our kids grow through. I think it's even, you know, they always say it's a deeper pain. And I know what that means. I absolutely agree with that. But by doing that, and it's not about, it gets exhausting trying to be like, I'm the perfect. It's life isn't about perfect. It's how you handle the tough times. It really is. And so true.
Tough
and times really show you who's really in your corner.
Well, and if you're not vulnerable, you don't allow your friends to be there and be in your corner for you. That's the thing I've really realized at midlife. And I love
Brené Brown talks about so many times. Her, one of her main themes that she speaks to is the power of vulnerability. And if you've never heard any of her stuff, you definitely need to listen. It is just eye-opening, and just the empowerment that you get from being vulnerable, which seems like a contradiction, but it truly is. But you know what, though? Making new friends mm-hmm. leaves you very vulnerable as well. Because now you've got to start opening up to someone you don't have all the background with.
Right.
And if you want that deep kind of friendship, you're going to have to start taking those little risks again with somebody new.
Yeah, it's true here at midlife. You know, the dynamics change. And a lot of times we need to broaden our base of friends, not to forget our old friends, you know, not to remove ourselves from the tribe. But we had so many built-in friends from having kids, right? Or working in an office where you were around a lot of, you know, work family. And a lot of times those things change. You're working from home and your kids grow up. So other things that could change is, I think you have this, friends are retiring and moving, right? Couples are moving to different cities, different states. Some friends have grandchildren and they could be a few hours away or states away. And they're just spending so much more time with that joyful part of their life. People go through a divorce and, you know, that divorce could split apart. You could be couple friends. And then where are you with that couple friend? Or, you know, the divorce, maybe somebody moves for a job. So at midlife, there are a lot of changes too. And like for me, I'm divorced. And after the hubbub of the kids, which, you know, we've been looking forward to being empty nesters, but I realized there wasn't a friend close by that was like a spontaneous popover friend-ish. When I say that, I mean like, hey, you want to come over, watch a movie, have a glass of wine and some pizza? Or what are you doing this morning? Let's go to the farmer's market. So even though I have great friends and many friends, I didn't have a kind of spontaneous friend.
So what did you do about that?
Well, I was at my book group one time, and I happened to mention that I was feeling a little isolated here. And one of the ladies in my book group, shout out to Julie, was like, hey, we have a lot in common. We like hiking. We like reading. Like, let's be friends almost. It was great. She took the first step. And now I do have a new friend that I adore. And last year we went into the MoMA, the Modern Art Museum, one time. Like, we have a lot of things in common. And it was really good for me. to, again, be vulnerable, put myself out there and make a new friend. I don't think I've done that in a really long time. What about you?
Well, I've, you know, again, coming into this, I knew I was coming into the empty nest and I wanted to be prepared. I started to join different things. You know, I started becoming mm-hmm. very active. I've met a lot of nice friends through pickleball. But I need to remind myself, though, that in order to enhance those friendships, we need to move it from just pickleball mm-hmm. to outside of pickleball. You know, we're talking about the group that we get together. We're talking about doing a Christmas party together, mm-hmm. which sounds so much fun. We've talked about, you know, maybe planning just nights where we go from pickleball, you know, to the golf club near us, you know, to hang out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think those things will definitely enhance. There's a couple different groups I belong to, which I like because it just broadens, you know, my possibilities of people I'm with. I got involved with beekeeping.
That's right.
That's been, you know, quite interesting. And my new one, I think I'm going to be signing up because I need it for my, to learn how to surf, but I'm going to be signing up for some yoga classes and, you know, and I hope to forge some friendships there as well. So activities, I know for you, didn't you join a hiking group recently?
I did. You know, I love hiking, but I'm not somebody that likes to hike on deserted trails by myself. And so my dog is a little dog, so I don't have a dog companion on these hikes up in the hills either. So I joined a hiking group and I'm really happy with that. I also recently I'm joining an outdoor, like a club with a couple chalets here, and you do volunteer work. So again, around the outside, around the outdoors. But I also am hosting my first ever game night. I love games. And my kids, I force my kids to play Scrabble, Rummy Cube. We still play Sorry sometimes, but I learned this new game for me called Mexican Train. It's a dominoes game. So I'm having some friends over for a game night here during the holidays. So, you know, pulling from a couple different groups of people, mixing and matching my friends together. And when I mentioned it to them, they were like, wow, a game night, that sounds great. So I really think activities and things that you're interested in, do the things you're interested in, right, Tish?
Absolutely. I think so. When you, more so than just going out to share a meal. And I think there's always that, you know, breaking of bread together, I think is very significant. But when you add an activity into that, you know, it's just so binding mm-hmm. for friendships. So, you know, figure out, you know, again, we've talked about this so many times, you know, reconnecting with the things that we loved. Maybe it's an art class. Maybe it's a pottery class. I've done those before in the past. A cooking class. No matter what it is, I think there's an amazing bonding thing. I recently went with a group of ladies and we went to a cooking competition. And we were the judges in the cooking competition at this cooking school. And it was two local chefs. And oh, it was just great fun, you know. So there's something very bonding about those experiences for sure.
Absolutely. Now, I know back almost a year ago, we did an experiment around Bumble Friends. Give us like a just short summary of what happened.
Okay. So people might not realize this. So Bumble is one of those dating apps, right? That's what everybody knows it for. But they also have two other components to Bumble. One is Bumble Friends and one is Bumble Business. And it's different ways to connect with people for those specific reasons. So I just said, okay, like how, because it's tough meeting people once your kids are gone. It's easy meeting people through your kids. But so I went on Bumble. You put a profile just like you're dating, but you're looking to lure in friendships. So I put all the things that I like to do out there and ended up getting a lot of really nice responses. You know, Charlotte area tends to have a lot of influx of people from outside the area. Mm-hmm. I think if you have an area that has a lot of, you know, transient people coming mm-hmm. in, I think those areas are probably going to be more successful. And all the ladies that I met were just lovely. I actually, because, you know, for time purposes, instead of meeting them individually, I said, I'm planning a meet out for dinner night. And so six of us were going to come, and it ended up to be four of us. One got COVID, mm-hmm. one did the drastic mistake of going home before going back out. And that was a mistake.
Don't do it.
You got to go right from work. But so it was really a lovely experience. Two of the ladies were married and two of us were single. Three of us were from outside the area. One was, mm-hmm. you know, local, born and raised. But, you know, it was that whole common thing of, I want friendships. You know, yeah. I'm looking to find new friends that I can do things with. They had other friends. It wasn't like they don't have mm-hmm. any friends. But that broadening, that need to, you can't rely on one group or one person, because if that person's not available, then you're alone. So right. to have that broad base of different people that you like to do different things with, I think is mm-hmm. so critical to your overall happiness and success with friendships.
You know, I agree. You know, I didn't do the Bumble experiment. I was a little reluctant, but I think for me, getting out and doing this new volunteer organization, this outdoor social club, is one of the things that I felt comfortable with. But absolutely, people should check out Bumble Friends, especially if you're new to an area. I feel like we have really talked about some good things about friendship today, Tish.
I just hope it inspires some people that might be, you know, yes, you might have friends, but you need more. Maybe you mm-hmm. need deeper connections. Maybe you've let some friendships go in the past. And hopefully this inspires you to just reach out to one of those old friends or mm-hmm. get out there and make a new friend. I know my friend Liz, she's one of these, as our friend Felicia likes to call, super connectors, right?
That's right.
Constantly connecting people together. And mm-hmm. she just brought this new woman we all went out for dinner at this new Indian restaurant, which was fabulous in TGK. And she invited her along. This is the second time she came. And I was like, yeah, this is somebody I think we can hang with. And I love that Liz does these super connections, you know, where she's not greedy with her friends. She just wants everyone to be friends. And she's always bringing people together. So find yourself a super connector. That'll definitely get your stuff going there. But be open to it. You know, yeah. Don't close yourself off saying, I don't have enough time. You know, it doesn't have to be an all-consuming. It can be an every now and then kind of thing. But get yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. For me, it's being open and vulnerable, exactly what you said, and really putting the time in to make those friendships. But I just want to say thanks to our podcast community tribe. We are so happy to have you along on this journey with us. Our podcast drops every Wednesday, and join us on Instagram and Facebook, right? You can give us a DM and share with us what you'd like us to explore on more of these episodes. Till next time, tribe.
Till next time, tribe. The Positively Midlife podcast will drop every Wednesday. Become part of our tribe of women excited to thrive in midlife. Like, subscribe, and follow us wherever you listen, and invite your friends along. Until next time, have a great week.